Brown Girl Bible. I hope everyone is having the most amazing day today. Whether you're listening to this on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a random day of the week, it is good to be here and be back. Lauren, how are you feeling?
You know, I'm doing okay. You, right before we started, mentioned something about your sinuses, and I'm feeling it too. Right. The weather, you know, just the barometric pressure, it's really, I feel it in my face physically. So it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need our nasal spray.
Yeah, we need a good neti pot moment. We need a nasal spray. But, you know, I'm making it through. I'm glad to be recording this episode.
I know, right? You live and die. Like, you testify about nasal spray, how it changes lives.
Oh, no. Yeah, listen, people. I know we're talking about the Lord and everything, and that's helpful. But let me give you the second most helpful thing you're going to hear on this podcast.
Wow.
Let me tell you a daily nasal spray, especially if you wake up in the middle of the night. That could be it. A lot of times people are like, you know, well, maybe it's your anxiety, or like you need to journal. That too, honestly, is big. But I realize when I do a nasal spray before bed, I be out, and I just feel like my passageways are all inflamed. And then, you know, you do this, you do the nasal spray, it opens them up. You breathe better when you're sleeping, and then you sleep all through the night. So
that's real. That's major.
I need
a nasal spray right now, for real, for real. Like, seriously. So, Lauren, it is season two. We're like more than halfway through season two of Brown Girl Bible.
I know. I can't believe it. It's the actually having consistency for me. Praise
Him. Look at us, consistent queens.
Hey, come on, miracle worker.
Miracle worker.
We have been reading
Crazy Faith by Michael Todd. This season, we're doing a book review. And we picked Crazy Faith by Michael Todd because, man, God is taking us through some crazy faith things. And we are just excited to see what Michael Todd had to say about it. And so far, it has been blessing us.
Yes, it really is. It's been such a good reminder and just refresher to really step out on faith with God. So, Taylor, what's this chapter about, chapter 7?
Chapter 7 is about trading. It's called Trading Faith, and it is an amazing chapter. Even if you aren't reading the book, even if you're kind of just jumping in right now, that's okay. You can still get something great from this podcast, or you can get the book and just jump in Chapter 7 or start from the beginning. All our podcasts cover each chapter. And so before we get into Chapter 7, Lauren, I wanted to ask you, I know we've been reading Crazy Faith, but are there any other books you've been reading lately that have kind of been like great?
Oh, very good cue. Well, oh my gosh. Okay, so I actually have been reading a really great book that my friend told me about. The title sounds aggressive, but let me tell you.
I love aggressive titles.
I feel like it's really for the eye-catching so that they could sell the book, but it's not like so, I don't know. Anyways, the book is called, what is it called? It's called How to Not End Up Marrying a Jerk or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Taylor, I actually been meaning to tell you about this. You should literally really read this book.
Literally.
So that sounds aggressive, especially if you're dating someone. You're like, you don't want to communicate that you feel like someone's a jerk. But, and it's not even about that. Like, it's honestly like things in it have been helpful for me to learn like about myself. Like, how am I showing up, you know, to dating? Like, am I the jerk? And jerk is so harsh, but it's basically a Christian psychologist who really adds a lot of structured context and concepts and to dating so that you can have a better understanding. You can have kind of a language around understanding like attachment and where you are with dating, with a you know, more of a healthy view. So that has been really, really awesome. It really helped me to understand, like, his whole concept is basically like having a healthy balance when you're dating, of like falling in love but not being blind in love, like developing affection and attraction and like, you know, just genuinely, you know, connecting with a person, starting to feel for them without completely losing yourself, losing wisdom, wow, losing all of your, you know, perception and just like, you know, being smartness, I guess. So it's like he provides a lot of really practical tools for how to understand what you're going through as you start to develop, you know, attachment and affection for someone, and helpful tools of like how to progress through that in a smart way, how to still be in the assessment mode of like, is this someone that I could spend forever with? Listen, y'all, we need to do a whole series on books that you need to read in dating, because I was just having a whole discussion with people about how like I just feel like a lot of Christian content is like, don't have sex and here's not to have sex, but they don't really talk about guarding your heart beyond that. Exactly. So it's like, you know, just like following healthy attachment, you know, models and styles, like being like healthily progressing in a relationship instead of being codependent or like whatever, just like falling super hard way fast and then just being heartbroken every time you date someone. Like, so anyways, I went on a rant. You probably did not ask for all that, but you know, here we are. So
no, Lauren, that's so good. I definitely obviously need to read that book. The fact that you haven't told me about it, I am not going to get offended, but I almost did. Okay.
So I literally like, have been there, meaning to text you. I think about it all the time.
It's okay. I'm so sorry. It's fine. I don't feel loved by that, but it's fine. No, I'm just kidding. But that's really good. I'm literally, once I finish my two books that I'm reading, I'm going to check that out literally, because I fully need to understand that, because I have not grasped that concept. So
it's so good.
Get it. The book that I am reading right now is called, and I'm reading it via audiobook because I'm a mom and I'm very tired, but I'm reading a couple books right now, but one that I'm super excited about is called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. Yes.
Oh, come on. Come on. Yes.
Yes. If absolutely, you know me, you know this is very much in line with myself. I enjoy personal finance. So it's by a guy named Ramit Sethi, and he has a very, I feel like, modern and appropriate and healthy view on personal finance. I Will Teach You to Be Rich, the concept is like being rich is not just about financial wealth, but he really encouraged you to identify what does your rich life look like. To some people, that's being a stay-at-home mom, so you're discounting a whole amount of, you know, piece of income that you could have. To some people, that is physically being a multimillionaire. For him, he always wanted to be able to buy appetizers. Like, he never was able to buy appetizers as a kid. So just making your own plan of like, what is rich to you and how to get there. And then there's, of course, amazing financial, healthy finance principles in there, and even relational principles. So that is just, I'm doing really great reading that book. It's reigniting me to organize my finances on another level, and I love it.
Yay. Okay, wait, what is rich to you?
Okay, so rich to me, I would love to be able to have the option to, I still don't know if I want to do this, but the option to be home, be a homemaker. And so I am a single mom, and so that's tough and really controversial, but the Lord is faithful. He's allowed me to have multiple streams of income, passive income, and even some plans and ideas where if I am still single, especially you know, for a while, or if my daughter hits school age, it's still a possibility for me to be a stay-at-home mom or homeschool her if I want. I don't know if I will, so I'm just kind of like putting that out there. I don't even know if I want to, honestly, even if I can. So that is rich to me, being able to have the freedom and access to be with my family, which right now is my cute 2-year-old baby girl Reagan. So yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's so good. Yeah, we love a stay-at-home mom.
Right. It's more detailed than that, but I won't get into it all in this one.
Okay. Okay, cool. And just to clarify, I completely got the title of that book wrong. It's How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk, The Foolproof Way to Follow Your Heart Without Losing Your Mind, by John Van Epp.
So. That is so good. Lauren, I'm literally reading that. I cannot wait. Wow. But right now, we are going to get into Trading Faith, Chapter 7 of Crazy Faith by Michael Todd.
Yay.
Yeah, this chapter was really great. The concept behind trading faith is basically that, like, we can't just live our lives and go through our faith journeys basically kind of quote-unquote riding on the coattails of someone else's faith. We've seen throughout the book and throughout the Bible and maybe even throughout our personal lives that other people's faith really does affect us in a great way. You can have faith for others, and it really affect them spiritually, and God bless them. But Michael Todd's point in this chapter is that you can't just continually ride on that throughout your faith journey and think that you're going to be able to display and live a life of crazy faith.
Yeah, and he really breaks it down to the basic, like the you know, the foundational faith, saving faith. You know, if you are, you know, if you're a person who's grown up in church and you've always been around and everything like that, it can be really easy to miss this sometimes, that your faith, like your personal faith, like your personal walk with God, has to be a choice that you as an individual make. It's not grandfathered in because your mom always brought you to church, right, and you always liked what was being said, and so, and you kind of agree. It's really takes a asking Christ's sins to count for, or asking Christ's death to count for your sins and confessing your sins and asking to have renewed life in him. So that's pretty important.
Yeah, he says in here, a quote from him is, "Somebody else's faith might have brought you here, but it's time to trade it in." And I love that, because in our culture of Christianity, current American culture, it's really important that, you know, a lot of us may have been raised culturally Christian, but might have not adopted a true faith for ourselves. I can relate to that personally. And so making sure that I have my own faith in God, making sure we all have our own true foundation that's rooted in Christ and not in someone else, is just super, super important.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think as pastors' kids, like, we definitely realize, like, it would be very easy just to, you know, adopt the faith of our dad, just like, but we both really had encounters with Christ that were transformational and individual. So I'm very grateful for that. So we'll talk a little bit about that later, or I don't know, Taylor, we had it in our plans to talk about it later, but do you want to talk about your situation now, or?
Yeah, that would be cool. So
okay.
I know for me, because it's really related to, I guess, the theme of this chapter. For me, just to give you guys, maybe I'll give you a brief overview and I'll just give pieces throughout. But I was, Lauren and I, obviously, we're sisters. We were raised the same exact way in the same exact home, but we were raised in a Christian home, and not just culturally Christian, I guess, but our parents really lived out the gospel in front of us. They really were disciple makers. They really were being transformed and living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Had a very ideal, beautiful childhood. I mean, just really great. Very thankful for the legacy that my parents started for us. Neither of them were raised in Christian homes, so they both got saved and really just changed a lot in their family dynamics. So I was raised in church. We went to Christian schools our whole life, from kindergarten to high school. And I always respected God. I always knew of God. And in my mind, even at that point, like if you look at me as an 18-year-old high schooler, I thought that I was truly saved. Because why would I not be? You know, I got baptized when I was 7. I said the prayer of salvation like at least 111 times, like just to make sure, like just have to be positive. But then when I went to college, I had a true encounter with God. When I look back, it was about my sophomore year. I was probably 19. And so when I look back before that point, that true encounter with God, I know I respected God. I knew of God but I wasn't like excited about God, being transformed by the Lord, walking with the Lord, hearing from God. I wasn't convicted of sins. I was just culturally going along with how I was raised, which I didn't know that at the time. It's not like I was in a rebellious state, like, oh, I hate this, I can't wait to get, you know, it was just my life and I was fine with it, you know. And I didn't know what I didn't know, you know? So that's why I'm like, certain people really just don't know. Like, you can't know. Being saved is a miracle, a spiritual miracle. Mm-hmm. You're literally blind before, you know, before you get saved. And so when I got saved, though, the Lord was just faithful. Like, it wasn't anything dramatic. He just, like, began to make himself real to me. I lived a really strong heart party lifestyle in college. And the Lord has just began a revival on my campus. And it wasn't like, oh, I went to this big revival service. He just began to, like, save a lot of young Black people at Ohio State all at the same time. And then started this Bible study. And it just grew and grew and grew. And we all joined the same church. And it just, like, I'm still really close with a lot of those people today. That was about 10 years ago. Wow, I've been saved for about 10 years. I think next month will be 10 years.
Wow.
I know. So I'm thankful. So that's my salvation story. After that, definitely was not perfect, but I felt the difference. I knew now I'm convicted of sins. When I do these same things I did before, I'm convicted. I don't want to stay in this place, even if I struggle. And I actually have a desire to, like, know God, love God, read the Bible on my own, pray on my own, like, be around believers. So it was just a lot more fruit, not a perfect life, but definitely fruit that I actually was saved and I was really transformed by God, began to hear from God. So that's kind of my salvation story.
Okay, yeah. And Taylor, can you just dive in a little bit deeper into that time when you were on campus and there was starting to be revival happening? Like, for you personally, like, what was the difference of understanding, or, like, you know, what was that difference? Did you just start reading the Bible and you just started to feel convicted, or what was the difference of understanding?
So I think for me, the things that I explicitly remember, which there probably was more that was happening, but, you know, I don't remember every detail from 10 years ago, but I do remember it must have been either Thanksgiving break or Christmas break of my sophomore year. I remember this was kind of major for me. I asked my dad for his music. So I remember my music taste very much changing. And it wasn't like any shame, but it just, or like anyone pressuring me, I just like was like, I just wanted to listen to gospel music and kind of clear some of the, you know, more explicit music from my iPhone or iPod. I don't even know what the heck I had at the time. iPhone. So I definitely know my music taste changed. I also had some friends who were Christians who were cool with me. I was cool with them. They lived a floor below me in a dorm. So I just would hit them up like, hey, we should maybe have a Bible study. And they were like, okay, like, we can do one. I remember also my other friend Brian, like, we would go out together, not together, but, like, we would always be out at the same parties. We were very close. And one day I was talking to him on the phone. We talked all the time. And he was like, and I told him, I was like, I'm about to stop going out. And I feel like I had said that to even some of my girlfriends for weeks. Like, this is the last time I'm going out. This is the last time we're going out. This is the last time. So it wasn't even noticeably like, I'm obsessed with Jesus. I'm going to stop drinking and going out. It was literally just like, I kind of want a different lifestyle. My desire started changing. And I remember talking to my friend Brian on the phone. He was like, yeah, I'm going to stop going out too. And I literally laughed because me and Brian, like, Brian used to be in a fraternity. Like, we used to go so hard. And I thought he was just saying that because I was saying that. But, I mean, the Lord ended up saving him too. And, oh, God's just so faithful. But yeah, so I remember my desires changing of my lifestyle and that Bible study starting. And I also just remember walking across campus one day, and I just remember the feeling of, I just want to make God smile. Mm. Like, that's all I wanted. Like, I just want God to smile on me. And those are the things I remember that were distinct markers. So, like I said, there wasn't anything dramatic. I didn't, like, almost, like, get in a car accident and die and, like, see heaven. Like, but it was changes in my lifestyle that's why I'm like, it's all the Holy Spirit. Like, it's not like anything I did. Like, I know for a fact it was prayers from other people praying for me and the Lord being faithful. It was literally that trading faith. And I traded in my parents' faith, the prayers of whoever, for my own, based upon the grace of God.
Okay. Yeah, I mean it. Yeah, I mean I'm so thankful because I remember that time. I have been walking with the Lord, like more seriously for a bit before that, like maybe 2 or 3 years, and I would just pray for you, and I would feel like my sister's never gonna be like super into God. There's just no way. And then I went out of town somewhere. I think I went to the Grand Canyon. And I came back into town. My dad picked me up from the airport. He was like, shocker, like Taylor's really like into God. I was like, wow, okay. That's
Shocker.
it. Not shocker. I really didn't mean to
No,
play you that
very
way.
much a shocker.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Just really dragged your whole life. But Taylor, okay, so listen, so hearing your story is very interesting because I feel like one, your story is like many people who grew up in church. But two, it's very interesting hearing when you're saying that you were saved. I'm curious, that makes me a little bit like, because you were praying the prayer of faith at a younger time, right? And then that's like that justification versus sanctification. Like justification is that one time act when you ask Christ sins to cover your sins, then that's justified. When he does that, he is declaring that you are righteous and justified in his eyes. But then as we walk as believers through our life, he sanctifies us. Like that's ongoing until we're dead and in heaven. He is like, through the Holy Spirit working in us, like you were talking about, to convict us, to move us to look more, to shaping us to look more and more like him, shaping our hearts to reflect his more. So I'm just like it now. I'm not trying to tell you about your own life, but it seems like, right? I mean, you were still like saved when you prayed those prayers. I mean, because you understood at least the childlike level, which is enough. But so do you think like maybe like what you experienced in college was just like sanctification really starting to begin? Like maybe you were not open to the Spirit's sanctification when you were, or just like the Spirit's prompting in those ways, calling you to be more like Christ, setting you apart, holiness, when you were younger. But in college, like the Lord really used that time and that movement to bring you to that place? Or do you really just think like, no, I was praying those prayers when I was little, but I did not understand them, or I didn't actually believe it? Like,
I'm gonna preface this by saying I literally, I don't know, and I'm gonna have to ask God when I get to heaven. But my answer to that, what I had to guess, is I truly believe I got saved when I was 19. I think that, and I could be wrong, but I don't, the way I see salvation described in the Bible and what I feel and experienced at 19, I never experienced anything like that. Never. Every chapel I went to, every church service I went to, every family devotion, I didn't. I don't feel like I had, so I know it's controversial. Maybe I did pray the prayer of faith. I don't know. Maybe it was a faith thing. I truly don't know. Maybe I was saved when I was 8 and I just wasn't aware and the Lord woke me up. But when I hear kind of people say that or it described that way, I don't see biblically a lot to support that. Even in my own personal experience, I don't think that's what was happening with me. I don't think I got saved when I was 7 and then quote unquote rededicated my life or like got fired up about God or whatever. I don't think so.
You really don't think the Holy Spirit was in you?
I really don't. And he could have been, I could have been wrong, but also like how is the Holy Spirit in you for a decade and you don't know? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. And maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I personally don't think for my story that I am. But I don't know. I don't know,
This
really.
is really tough because it's a thing that people wrestle with a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe not for yourself. Like, it's okay to just feel how you feel. I mean, maybe for yourself too, but I know, especially with like loved ones and stuff like that. Like, so mm-hmm. there's that like side of like, you know, faith like shows fruit. And so right. it's like, if you don't have like these real, like these obvious fruits of the Spirit, like coming up in your life, like, can we be sure that you were saved? But it's also like, we can't follow our feelings either, because right. it's like, we have to believe what God says. If we confess our sins, ask him into our heart, he's faithful, you know, to save us. So it's like, it is tough. I mean, like, I think for your own thing, like personally, yeah. like, you know, and like, you definitely know that you're a believer now. So that's good. Yeah. But I think for people, if you're out there and you are like, well, I prayed the prayer of salvation, but I still kind of be out here going out and I still be sleeping. You know, I think that is good. Like, you want to look for, like, do you hear or feel or experience the Holy Spirit's prompting in your life in any form or fashion? Like, mm-hmm. do you like see the fruit in your life at all, where in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, or just, you know, you having, you know, your concerns or like what you care about starting to look at least a tiny bit more like what God cares about?
Yeah. And I honestly, like, I'm telling you, because first of all, I think when looking at other people, you can't try to figure out, is this person saved? I mean, you want to trust that people who say they're saved are, but you know, if you're looking at family members, like, I wonder if my second cousin is saved. Like, I don't know if that's really our place. You know, you pray for people, blah, blah, blah. But as far as yourself, if you're even wrestling with, Lord, am I saved or not? That to me is fruit. Like, God, like, what's going on? When I tell you, I never yeah. thought about that. I did not right. think about it. I did not wonder what God's thinking. Does God care? I did not care. That's why I'm like, and it wasn't a disrespectful, I'm overtly against you, God, I don't care what you think. It just was not a relevant thing in my mind.
Yeah.
It was not. I'm telling you, like, so for me, I really just don't think that I knew. Now that I have the Holy Spirit now, and I've been that person where I'm going out, I'm still very much sinning, I'm still very much lying, I'm still very much hiding, right. I'm still very much in the same, actively in the same sins I was doing before I got saved. But I know the difference. Like, I know, and it's experiential. So everyone's maybe different, but I don't feel like I was saved. How do you have the Holy Spirit for, if I got saved when I was 8, 11 years, but you don't know? I just don't see that biblically, how that's consistent. So personally, for me, I don't think so. But I would say for anyone out there who's wrestling, even mm-hmm. if you are just wrestling like, Lord, am I saved? Mm-hmm. I think that's even fruit of, like, you're considering God, you're seeking God, you're looking for God, you care if God, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then you should seek, hopefully, progression and fruit and growth, and that'll look different for everyone, and you won't be perfect. But I mean, I wasn't even on the landscape of, like, God, you know.
Yeah. And I think if you're wrestling, then, like Taylor said, that's a really good sign that, like, because you care, like, the Holy Spirit is probably in you, prompting you to care. And like, you really have to really just believe God, what he says about you. Like, no matter how still janky you are, trust me, I still be janky, we also be janky, God has you. Like, if you genuinely, you know, pray that prayer, like, I want to confess my sins to you, I want your death to cover them for me, you know, and I want to give my life to you, I want to follow you, you know, that you have to believe and trust that what God says is true. He's done that for you. Yeah. It's covered.
And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. So also, if you're wrestling, the Lord does not want you, he wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. So if you're like, I don't know, literally say, hey, God, I don't know. Like, engage with the Lord about it. He's not afraid of this. He knows everything. God, help me. Give me proof. Give me evidence of my faith. Show me a sign, Lord. Help me. God, you want this more than me. Save me if I'm not saved. Whatever it may be. But believe God and believe that he wants everyone to be saved. Like, that is his actual will. And I love how Michael Todd talks about in Trading Faith, how the purpose of our faith, and you know, when we think crazy faith, we think, oh, I'm gonna start this business and make $1 million. Mm-hmm. Whatever the fruit is, the purpose of every single thing, when you get down to the root of it, is for people to be saved.
Yes.
That is it.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And that initial saving faith, like, that is for you. But then as God continues to work miracles in your life, this is Michael Todd talks about this too, as he continues to do these things that you're going to be trusting him for, you know, whatever, like, those things obviously will be for your good, but they're also, and more importantly, to bring glory to the Father so that other people can come to know him. So this faith, you know, walking in faith, letting God lead us, you know, and that be getting, you know, new places in our life, you know, it's all in that, it's all for that aim of seeing people come to know God, for God being glorified. So I will say, Taylor, you said one thing, and I'm a little bit like, okay, let's come back to that, because I don't know if I fully agree about assessing if other people are saved. I feel like one, that is something that a lot of us just naturally come to, especially if you've lost someone. I mean, that can be one of the deepest pains of losing someone as a believer, just not being sure if they were a believer or not. So I know a lot of people are in that place of like, well, you know, they would come to church, but they were living crazy. I mean, like, we have family, we've had people close to us that have, you know, I've had these discussions with, like, well, you know, they were kind of living like a certain way, but they would come to church, and like, I kind of tried to talk to them about salvation, and it seemed like they kind of got it, and you know, they kind of tried to push me off, like, don't worry about me, I got that. So it's like, people really be in that space of like, I just don't know. And then also to that point of like, you know, this is all for the glory of God, to bring others to him. Like, as we walk through life, like, especially if you're walking through life with a missional mindset, which we all really, you know, that's a great commission. That's what God has called us to do, is one of the things he's requested of us after we have that saving faith, that we go and make disciples of all the nations. You know, you want to be, as you encounter new people in the world, you know, it's helpful to take that lens of like, okay, well, let me see what if this person does know God, because then that's an opportunity to share your faith, you know, to start praying for that person or start talking to them about God or whatever. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
No, I completely agree. You're 1,000% right. We should walk through life. I guess what I meant is like not being so harsh on people and saying, oh, well, you say you're a Christian, you did this sin, and therefore you're not.
Right.
You know, so I should explain that a little bit more. But you're actually so right. To be a healthy Christian, you probably will have a missional mindset of like, I want people to know God. Mm-hmm. And so obviously one of the assessments you need to make is, do they know God already or not?
Right.
Very much so. In Matthew 24:14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so you're right. We have to literally testify throughout the earth, and there's billions of people. And so that's so, so important. And even God puts testimonies of other people in the realm of like, he is going to come back. You know, that's one of the factors that will determine his coming back. And so I think that that's really, really, you're right. That's super important. And even just to share our testimony and to testify.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I do agree, and I hear what you're saying on that too, because a lot of people do that where they be like, that person's not really safe because I saw them smoking a joint. Like, girl, no, ma'am. No,
Relax.
miss ma'am. I know people were doing that like a lot with like Chance the Rapper. Like, well, he curses in his song, so he's not really a Christian. Like, miss ma'am, you do not know his
What do
heart.
you
I'm
even
so
mean?
sorry.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
just.
and that's kind of what I meant by that. Like little stuff like that. Like, oh, like, why do you think that that would, you know, that's not even biblical. So, anyways, so that's what I meant. But that was a good point. We actually should be like trying to assess people so that we can help or provide, you know, what God wants us to give for them, to them. I know one of the things that Michael Todd talks about in this book, in this chapter, is about your testimony and to not throw away your testimony, because even if someone else, like their faith really helps you to come into the faith, like my parents, my sister, as you guys hear, people are praying for me, and there are people praying for you, and so forth and so forth. We got to hold on to that testimony and tell people the aspects of our testimony. And so he talks about how he shares, Michael Todd shares, and he has this quote that he says all the time. He's very hot. Hot is humble, or stands for humble, open, transparent. And so, Lauren, what was the story that he was kind of telling about how he really is always, you know, excited to share his testimony and whatnot?
Yes. So he was just talking about how he's kind of become a bigger pastor or whatever. And as like, you know, his congregation grows, I guess he gets more notoriety or whatever. People in his life really be trying to tell him like, hey, don't go all in depth about the, you know, more scandalous parts of your testimony anymore. Like, you know, that's like, it's just a put off or whatever, but he's always been faithful to do that. He really struggled with pornography and other stuff. I wish I fully remember. I think he kind of cheated on his girlfriend that later, his girlfriend later became his wife. But that actually might not be true. We know for a fact, I remember for a fact that he struggled with pornography. So
No,
he would talk about that.
he
What?
says it, I encourage actions that hurt people I loved and culminated in me cheating on the love of my life before we
Okay.
got married.
Okay. So I was not
Yep,
misremembering.
you're
I
on
was trying
point.
not
You're on
to
point.
lie on Michael Todd,
No,
y'all.
you right here.
But anyways, so yeah, so but he was just really faithful to do that, and he tells this story of he had this friend when he was like a preteen, maybe like eighth grade or something, and they were just like doing the we're rebellious bad kids type of thing together, and then either he or his friend moved away. But he saw how his friend's life progressed, and Michael Todd eventually kind of went into a way of really following God. And his friend just progressed down this other path that was worse, and he just ended up becoming like an addict and getting into drugs and stuff. So his friend came to his long time ago friend came to Michael Todd's church. So Michael Todd was like, oh, I'm going in on the gritty parts of my testimony today, just so that this guy really knows it's like the Lord really is here for all of us no matter what. And so he was just like very vulnerable during that day. And he talked to his friend after, and his friend ended up coming to know God.
Wow.
So yeah, that's so important. I think like I think that's encouraging too, because while being addicted to porn and cheating on your girlfriend is bad, is bad things. I think a lot of us, or at least I know I can relate to Michael Todd in that, like, you know, you always grew up in church. Like maybe you were doing some kind of rough things, but you weren't really out here like some people really be out here. Like some people be like, yeah, I killed a man. And then I heard the Lord's voice from God. I was like, I held the knife and he said, come to me. You know, like people just be having dramatic testimonies, but your testimony is powerful in of itself. And you know, that's how my testimony was not the most super dramatic, but it's dramatic in the fact that being saved and transformed by God's power is dramatic. So like I like Taylor, I grew up going to church, and I do believe I became saved at 11 in a teen service. I understood salvation as a trading faith. Like, oh, like I need to, I am not a good person. I have flaws and bad things, and I can't fix them myself, and I need God's grace to cover them. So I asked for that at that time. But after that, I just kind of continued on with life. Like I would go to church, but I wasn't really, you know, out here really trying to understand God for myself, like actively. But in high school, in the summer after ninth grade, I went on this mission trip with my school. And to be honest, it was just simply like the mission trip. I wake up so early. I'm such an early bird. And before breakfast, there was nothing to do except like go to the chapel and get time in the word like by yourself. And I would be up so early, so I would have nothing to do because breakfast wouldn't be for a while. So I would go do that. And that was really the first time that I consistently, I mean, mission trip was only a week long, but that was the first time that I consistently read the Bible by myself, like every day. And that really just started a transformation of my faith, like understanding, like on a deeper level, like, oh, this is a relationship in as like my friends at school. Like God wants to talk to me every day and like connect with me every day and like hear from me, and I want to hear from him. And it's like genuine love and connection. So that was my testimony. And like I said, after that, I've still been crazy, y'all, but God is good. So he's very faithful. So yeah, but I try to tell my testimony because every person's testimony is a miracle, and it's important. Yeah. And it could bless someone's life. And so you should tell yours too.
Absolutely. He talks about how we shouldn't throw our testimony away. And how there's value in it. And our testimony, we're sharing our salvation testimonies about how God justified us and saved us. But there are also testimonies of after you get saved of how God is moving in your life. And just testifying of the goodness of God. So don't ever be afraid to share that. In Revelation, it talks about how they overcame by two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Michael Todd, he talks about, I'm going to read the end of his chapter, and it talks about people who possibly want to give their hearts to the Lord. And so I'm just going to read it, and then I'll read an encouraging statement, and then we'll just end off. And if you want to give your heart to God right now, even whether in your car, your shower, just listening somewhere random, you absolutely can. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you want to be saved, say this prayer from your heart. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for all of my sins. Today, I acknowledge that I'm in need of a Savior, and I choose you. I repent from my old ways of living and commit to a new life following you. I believe you lived, died, and rose again with all power just for me. So today I give you my life. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can use your own words there or whatever you want to do. Make it your own. But if you just pray that prayer, you are saved. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. As long as you pray that prayer and believed in your heart. You just made the greatest decision of your life, and heaven is rejoicing, and so are we. And for those of us who are saved, even if you've only been saved for a minute, our God is a miracle worker, and he dwells inside human beings who are always in need of miracles. Everyone faces impossible situations that need God intervention. Yet no one experiences the fullness of God's omnipotent power working on his behalf. Yet not everyone experiences the fullness of God's omnipotent power working on his behalf. Many times it's because people lack faith to believe he can and will do something amazing for them, in them, and through them. Crazy faith makes you believe you can be the exception. What happened in another situation does not determine what happens in this one. Your perception of previous patterns is not an accurate indicator of your future possibilities. There's always an exception. Why can't it be you? This is a declaration not of superiority, but of distinction. I'm no better than anyone else, but I am different from everyone else. And so we can do this, guys. We have crazy faith for salvation for ourselves and for others, and that we are the exception.
Yes, and that was an excerpt from Michael Todd's book that Taylor read, just for, you know, the copyright, you know, we don't want people coming first. But that was an excerpt from Michael Todd's book, a super powerful one. So, yes, you're the exception. We love that. Yes. And thank you for joining us, y'all. If you prayed that prayer of salvation with us, let us know, you know, shoot us a DM on Instagram, or let us know in the comments of this podcast. And if you have already accepted Christ into your heart, let us know about how that went in the comments of this podcast. And please give us a 5-star rating. But I think we got to get out of here, Taylor. This went long, but I love it.
Absolutely. This was a great one. Thanks for sharing your testimony, too. It was amazing. And thanks for kicking it with us today, guys. We'd love to hear from you. And we will catch you again soon.
Bye.